Hello, I'm Alec Hogg, and welcome to the Biz News Edge. It's the Wednesday, the 5th of August, 2026, and we've got a show for you. News from Johannesburg, where Helen Ziller, I guess the cockles of her heart, will be somewhat warmed by the latest polling numbers. The Common Sense and the Social Research Foundation have put together some figures that show the DA is just so far ahead, and no one's even close. But Ziller told us that she needs 45% to have the Joburg office in her grip, and actually she wants to get over 50% so she can do what needs to be done to rescue what was once Africa's richest and most prestigious city. Can she get it back there? Well, let's hope so. Then also today we'll hear from another famous South African, Elon Musk. And he brought out the Starlink results, the SpaceX results last night, which also did talk to Starlink, which of course is a government of national unity, not really understanding what they believe on Starlink. The ANC don't want Starlink in South Africa. And they were celebrating when Amazon brought its alternative to Starlink. And then SpaceX. This is an extraordinary company. We heard from Cy Jacobs on Biz News a little while ago that when SpaceX's share price was going up to $200 and beyond, it was really a crazy situation. Even at $135, where the initial public offering was made, that was a little bit rich. But outside of that, it is a fabulous business, and Elon Musk has just confirmed that, and we've got quite a nice clip for you that'll take you inside last night's webinar that he gave to the shareholders and the investment community, having a look at the Starlink results. Also today, we'll be looking into Sasol's trading update and some very good numbers from Glencore. Sabvest, which we've just dropped out of the Biz News portfolio, brought some good figures out. And then the anchor for this afternoon, for this today's show, is from Palantir. And we investigate how Palantir got to that incredible 29% jump in its share price last night on Wall Street. And you'll find out after hearing more from Mr. Alex Karp, the chief executive, that it's all about conviction, all about conviction. And the conviction is the reason why Palantir is looking so strong and likely to go stronger still. So it's all about the conviction premium in today's program. And I hope you enjoy it as much as I did putting it together. Well, let's start off in Johannesburg, and the Democratic Alliance, in the latest polling from the Social Research Foundation, is coming out at 42% of the vote. So the blue machine, the granny or Gogo Helen, driving to a very comprehensive victory. But they need over 50%, she says, to be sure that they have the votes to be able to do what needs to be done in Johannesburg to turn it around. While the DA may be celebrating these figures to a degree, they aren't there yet. And there's an excellent article on Biz News today from Jonathan Katzenellenbogen, who says that it's a toss-up between the DA getting the mayoral position and a really messy coalition. Meantime, the ANC has fallen out of bed in Johannesburg, down from 34% in the 2021 election to 30% as recently as March, but subsequent to that, down to just 18%. And now it's within touching distance of Jacob Zuma's breakaway MK party, which has come from 8% in March to 13% now. The big loser at the moment, outside of the ANC, appears to be Action SA, and that in the 2021 election, when it was a young party with 16%, is down to 10%. This is the latest polling from the Social Research Foundation. Well, on to SpaceX now. And last night, Elon Musk held court together with the chief executive and the chief financial officer of SpaceX, their first set of financial results since SpaceX was listed on the US markets. And there are many South Africans who've got a direct interest in this. We did warn you that, courtesy of Sy Jacobs, that it had been overhyped. The share price came back a long way. But Elon tells a good story, and that story was repeated again to a large degree last night. I'm going to play you a clip now, but listen out for the way that he has now got two near monopolies. On the one hand, SpaceX, in terms of what it takes into space, what its rockets can actually take into orbit, and Starlink, which South Africa sadly seems to be doing everything possible not to bring into the country, and the dominance, the utter dominance that Starlink has and indeed will have even more of in future, helped along, no doubt, by SpaceX being able to take its satellites into orbit a lot quicker and a lot more guaranteed than anyone else. But here's Elon from last night.
So right now, we deliver, call it roughly 2,500 tons a year to orbit via Falcon. And this is a big number by normal standards. The rest of the world, I think, delivers around 300 tons. So we deliver, 80 to 90% of total Earth mass to orbit per year with Falcon. Now, with Starship, our aspirations, and I think we will achieve these aspirations, are to deliver well over 1 million tons to orbit per year, and probably ultimately 10 million tons per year. So this is not like if you had a chart where you plotted things, you would need a very, very big table to put the chart on to see see any of our competitors on that chart and to make that. So our next biggest competitor was 1 pixel high on the bar chart. You would still need a very big bar chart to represent the SpaceX Starship vehicle. And it's worth noting that we actually encourage our competitors to copy us. We do nothing to slow them down. We actually launch competing satellite constellations at the fair prices, the same price we charge everyone. So we do encourage our competitors to copy us, but it's quite difficult to copy something like Starship. But we don't use patents as sort of a landmine exercise to stop people from copying us. We actively encourage it. So, anyways, but when you think about it on that, we go from 2,500 tons a year to 1 million, potentially 10 million tons per year. It's really a ridiculously profound difference, but that is our plan, and I think we will achieve that plan. Regarding Starlink, it's also worth just noting that the Starlink V3 satellite is about an order of magnitude more capable than the Starlink V2 satellite, which was already a very capable satellite, and we expect to launch about an order of magnitude more Starlink V3 satellites. So that would mean a roughly 2 orders of magnitude increase in the delivered bandwidth. Even if our monetization per bit dropped by a factor of 10, that would still mean a 10x increase in the revenue of Starlink. So I think people are really underestimating Starlink here. This is a big deal. It's kind of hard for people to wrap their minds around this, but it's not out of the question that at some point Starlink will deliver a majority of the world's internet, at least in countries where we're allowed to operate, which is the vast majority of countries.
Excluding South Africa at the moment anyway. Isn't that an interesting aspect that you're getting there? Inside information from Elon Musk talking about they are so far ahead in taking goods into orbit. Now he's got this new mega rocket, which is going to take even more, just exponentially more, that they don't mind, and they're encouraging others to copy them and try and follow them. But pretty much no one's had much success in that for some time anyway. And we do know that Jeff Bezos and his Blue Origin has tried hard. He started about the same place that SpaceX started, but it's a one-horse race there. But the thing that should be bothering Pretoria is the way that Starlink is so far ahead as well on the internet access, and Elon's view that indeed it could be the provider of most of the world's internet into the future. This guy thinks in a different way, and unfortunately we aren't following that kind of insight. Moving on to Sasol now, and the share price of Sasol fell today despite on the face of it a very good increase in its results for the year to the end of June. There's a trading update that says that the basic earnings per share will be up by 84%. Now, the share price has doubled in the past 12 months. However, what the market didn't like today was that there's nearly 17 billion rand in fresh impairments, in other words, write-offs, in other words, money that Sasol has allocated in capital investments that is not paying off and has to now be written off. It's a reflection, an indictment on poor allocation of capital. And those impairments are going to occur in Secunda, the polyethylene, and in Mozambique. So the share price, despite what should have been numbers to warm the hearts of any shareholders, actually resulted in a 2% drop on the day. But Sasol's done very well recently. So at the moment, you can see that the real driver for this share price is not what's happening in the management of the company. It is what's going on with the oil price. On to the best trading result of the day, and this comes from Glencore. Now, Glencore is listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Its primary listing is in London. It's now also looking to list on the Australian Stock Exchange in the near future. Gary Nagel, the chief executive, is a South African, and his predecessor, Ivan Glazenberg, also South African. So there's a deep SA connection here, whereas there's also an 80% plus growth in its profitability. This one is something that you can take home, because the profit here is $4.5 billion, a huge turnaround from the same period a year before, and this is for the 6 months to the end of June. Shareholder returns in the past 6 months of $1.5 billion, and that's through share buybacks and dividends. So Gary Nagel is only fairly recently installed as the chief executive. He's off to a cracking start as far as shareholders are concerned. Moving on to the other story that is well worth looking at today, and that's Sabvest. Sabvest is a stock that was in the BizNews portfolio. It's done incredibly well over the past year, also like Glencore, doubling. And this was more a result of the market waking up to the value that Sabvest offered, having delivered 20% growth year on year for a couple of decades now. And as a consequence of that re-rating, the Sabvest share price has got pretty close, or had got pretty close, to its net asset value. And at that time, we felt that there would be alternative options. So sold at Sabvest and put that cash into Renet, which is trading at about 70 cents in the euro in cash value. But there's nothing wrong with Sabvest, and the results that came out today show that the net asset value, this rather a trading statement, will be up around as much as 24% for the year, and that will open up again that margin of safety for Sabvest. The dividend was held unchanged at 40 cents a share. And now on to the story that got BizNews shareholders in the Ricardo portfolio terribly excited. Last night, the share price of Palantir was up by 29%. It's not often that you see these kind of growths, overnight jumps, even with a set of good results. But these weren't good. They were stellar. The reason for this, though, is not on the revenue number alone, extraordinary as it was, but on the chief executive, Alex Karp himself, doing exactly what Alex Karp does. Here's the first of two cuts that are taken from the webcast, which, again, like with Starlink, this one came out last night, and it'll give you an understanding of where he tells people to actually understand that there is a revolution that is happening right now, and you need to get off the sidelines.
And in Palantir, we are at the front line. We are on the front of driving this revolution. I am driving the business to grow at a rate equal or above to what we have in U.S. commercial for the next 18 months, which is a very high goal. But it is one we can actually get to because we are fully aligned with what's right and what's good and what actually works well in an enterprise. And for the first time, people believe us. And if you didn't believe us, you can believe 149% growth in the U.S., a rule of 40 that's 155, 93% aggregate growth, and 90% growth in U.S. com with 62-63% free cash flow margins. People thought we wouldn't be profitable. So this is one of the more exciting times to be at Palantir. It's one of the more exciting times to participate in Palantir. And for everyone on the sidelines, you got to get off the sidelines. This is a revolution that will affect the sovereign revolution, where you stand in it, will affect your livelihood, the livelihood of the people you care, and whether America and the West win. We cannot regress to a thin philosophical model where only a small group of people who think very differently than most of us actually absorb all of the revenue and value in our business and transfer all the dangers to us. And that's what this revolution is about, and it's extremely motivating for those of us at Palantir.
Extraordinary numbers, aren't they, when you have a look at the profit margins or that they're generating over 60%, the growth that's being achieved, 149%. And that revolution, of course, that he's talking about is the AI, artificial intelligence revolution. Well, he goes further still and explained why Palantir, the company, doesn't behave like a normal company at all. And it's a lot to do with the kind of people that they employ, not the kind you'd imagine.
This is a company that from beginning, from inception, has valued artistic insights, meaning you can't model something purely on science. You have to have an aesthetic or artistic appreciation for it. And we've made huge bets. Everyone at this sitting at this table and many, many hundreds of people at Palantir have essentially artistic insights. We've always viewed ourselves, we've always said we're a colony of artists, and people assume that means we're just difficult. And that's also true. But, you know, it's also, we value insights that are way before anyone else would see them. And we build major parts of our business. That's very hard for normal business to do because, I mean, one of the jokes running around Palantir is we can definitely meet our guide next year if we get paid for all the people copying us. You know, so even we get a small portion of people copy, you know, of the funds for the copiers, we do very well. Normal businesses, again, no critique here, are built around, there was a playbook, we execute on that playbook, and we're in a non-playbook world. So executing on a playbook that worked 5-10 years ago, essentially build parasitic software and monetize it, that doesn't work now. And there's hundreds of variants of that, but that is a central advantage we have. We are a colony of believers and artists that are very motivated to drive value. And that sets us aside much more than I would have imagined 10 years ago if you'd asked the same question. And then luckily for us, this is capitalism. I mean, DSA wants to get rid of it. But until they do, you got to look at the results. Because if our results, and the other thing I'll tell you that's very special for us, we are outsiders. Outsiders, like you're an outsider. You come to this country, you better have really good results. You know, and like the same thing for Palantir. We know we need the best results because people aren't buying our product because we're swinging the golf club correctly or paying for the steak dinner. They don't even invite us to steak dinners. So So that's, and that outsider status has caused huge problems, but in the first 18 years, but a lot of benefits in the next 18 years. And other people don't like being outsiders. I'm you know, in fact, I'm struggling with our current popularity.
I'm struggling with our current popularity. What a guy. So here's where today leaves us. Voters punished the ANC for pretending Johannesburg wasn't broken. The market punished Sasol for pretending its impairments were behind it. And it richly rewarded everyone who showed genuine conviction. Glencore, Sabvest, and above all, Alex Karp and Palantir, a company that added almost a third to its value overnight by refusing to sound like other chief executives on Earth. Meanwhile, in Pretoria, the denial continues. There's a government still negotiating with itself over a satellite company that's about to carry the majority of the world's internet traffic. So here's my question heading into the middle of, or into the second half of the week. If conviction is what markets and voters are both paying for right now, where in your own portfolio or your own business are you still negotiating with denial? Well, that's your Business Edge for today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, cheerio.